The Blurred Truth Insider Update.
Time travel and conspiracy theories often go hand in hand. Hence Al Bielik, the Philadelphia experiment. It made him a household name. Ed Cameron, not so much. We're trying to make him a household name by doing this show with him. And you went forward in time for a couple of years to the year 2147, where things were totally different, Ed. Did they have a world map? Did you see a world map when you were there in that timeline?
In 2137, I did. I did not see a map of the world at that era of 28th century. I'm sure they existed, but I don't recall that they were shown. In fact, we didn't see it because it was not part of society. You weren't told much about what lived on, what was on the outside. And there were those people, the heretics, as they call them, who didn't want to be part of the society, this regimented socialism, if it were. It was free to a point, but it was also regimented because you had rules and regulations. And you were told this is the limits of what you could do. If you went outside of that, there's sort of a yellow zone. You were called in. The Lama gave you a reprimand. If you went in the red zone, it was a very serious case, like you would have today if somebody committed murder. Well, they had rules involving that kind of society, rules and regulations. And if you went outside of the normal zone or the red zone, you were called in for not just a reprimand. Many people disappeared, were never seen again. Now, whether they were eliminated on the spot or not, I can only assume that that was probably what happened to them. And they did have automobiles, so I never went out in one, and I understand there wasn't that much car travel. For those who were on the surface cities, they had to have transportation.
Did everyone look pretty much the same?
There were variations in the human appearance, but the human appearance had changed a great deal in the sense that it was more refined. There was less variation in appearance than there is now. There was more of a genetic mold, which had much narrower limits than you see today genetically. I don't recall at this point in the 20th century that there was more than one race. It was Caucasian. I don't remember seeing any other races. Now, outside of where I was, because I never took any long trips anyplace, there might well have been other races elsewhere in other parts of the planet that I never found out about, never inquired. What intrigued me was the fact that here is a synthetic intelligence computer running this whole system and actually running the planet. These things didn't build themselves. Who built them? That was where it got much more interesting, because eventually I was introduced to the builders of the intelligence system, the computer systems. Who were the designers? Who were the builders? That's when I met this group. They were different. They were totally human, but they were different than the ones you typically saw. They ran 6263 average, extremely intelligent, genetically, I guess, about as perfect as you could expect anyone to get. They were the result, as they told me, of genetic engineering that had been ongoing for centuries. And it was in the 26th century, they perhaps came from a long line of computer engineers. It was in the 26th century they decided to engage in the experiment of synthetic intelligence to see if they could run the whole planet.
I suppose they could have been Bill Gates's great, 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 great grandchildren, but I suppose we'll never know.
But that was the way I was introduced to them, and that they were running everything behind the scenes. They kept totally out of sight. They didn't interfere with the computer operations unless something went wrong, and apparently there was one case of where the way the computers were programmed, as I understand it, they had a wide latitude of operation, wide latitude of what they could do, but there was one inbuilt function which was allegedly inviolate. They could never lie to anyone about anything. If they felt it inappropriate to give an answer on something, you just say, I can't give you an answer on that at this point, or that's not in your domain or whatever, but they wouldn't lie about it. One of them did lie, apparently, at one time, and one of them was scrapped and replaced. Felt there was some basic flaw in that unit that had gotten to the point where it could assume to lie, whatever the reason was, it was destroyed.
Was its name Hal, by any chance?
From the famous movie? Not that I know of.
Well, they do say history repeats itself.
Good point. As I got to meet these people, I got to learn a lot more about prior history, prior to this point. And as they said, they had undergone genetic engineering themselves from the 22nd and 23rd century, and they emerged as the, perhaps one would say, the dominant intelligent species on Earth. They had a name for themselves, which I'll give you in a minute or two. But they, literally the power behind the scene running this whole thing, and they were beginning to realize something, which I've learned since, perhaps because of their writings, which have come back to this century. There was a major flaw, which they realized was possible, from what they told me, but it was only beginning to show up in the 28th century. And that was the fact that if you have pure socialism, a set of guidelines where society must adhere to, and everything's free, you lose incentive to create. You lose that creative ability. And you just fall into the pattern, and the pattern remains unchanging. There are no new inputs, and eventually the whole damn thing will collapse because there's no reason to go ahead and do anything new. There's no reason to create anything new, and people will get tired of the same old thing eventually. And if they see nothing changing, no future, nothing that they can help to create, then that creative impulse is gone, and eventually society collapses and dies.
So, yeah, you can look at the present-day Soviet Union and actually see that happening right now, and it's a wonder that in the 28th century they didn't go back in time to see what had played out previously to try and prevent this.
Well, one of the things they looked at and had perhaps as a consideration was the fact that in the 22nd, 23rd century, world population was only around 300 million total. And there was a definite decision, and of course this is in current day's data, the New World Order feels that the world, ideal world population would be around 500 million. It shouldn't be over 1 billion. The natural resources and such cannot support it, sustain it indefinitely, which is beginning to show. But as part of that assumption of this century, apparently they considered the same thing, that the maximum desirable population on the planet should be around 500 million, and they're aiming everything at that 500 million population, which is where it was in the 28th century. And it was approaching that in the 25th, perhaps, from what they told me. But they wanted to try and make a system of socialism work because they didn't want to go back to all of the evils and the problems of the banking systems, particularly private banking, which have existed in the last 10 centuries of this up to this time. And they didn't want to see that repeated with everything leading into wars and fights for the sake of profit. And what it did to humanity. Well, of course, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is it goaded humanity into advances. You create a problem, you find a solution. Whether the solution is how to beat your enemy in war, or how to get out into space before somebody else does, or whatever it may be, go to defend yourself against an invasion. It creates a desire, an incentive for something. Something which in the long run becomes perhaps productive, and adds to the sum total knowledge of humanity. But they felt, for whatever their reasons and choices, that they wanted to try the grand experiment with socialism controlled by a highly intelligent synthetic intelligence system rather than by humans, because they realized if humans control this, it gets out of hand. You get an elite group who runs the show and runs it for their own benefit and their own profit, which is exactly what's going on the planet today.
So did any of these computer programmers take advantage of the fact that they were writing the code and keeping the computers going the way they should be?
They did not. They were really...
Because they could have literally controlled the world.
In a sense, they already did, because they created the computers, and if they found that a computer went out of its bounds of its own programming limits, they would pull it and replace it.
So these computer guys were pretty good human beings, exemplary almost.
Apparently they were what you might call the perfect human. That's hard to say in a certain sense, but they seemed to be that. They had no self-desires in terms of gaining power or control.
So not overly ambitious here.
They're not ambitious. And it's a very peculiar thing because they also had, separate from the main cities, they had their own culture, they had their own art, their own, I wouldn't say religious beliefs, but their own philosophical beliefs, which had gone beyond religion. Religion didn't exist, I might add, in the 28th century. It was almost non-existent in 2137.
What did they think of God? Did they have a belief in a creator of some sort?
They did think of a supreme being, but they thought of it in a very different sense than most religions do today. most religions today take a very narrow view of the punishing God and the rewarding God, and you do what he says, everything's fine. If you don't, he'll punish you. That's long gone in terms of their outlook. It's considered a supreme being that it is very difficult to get to know, that is beyond all of us in terms of awareness and understanding. But it, the God, learns through communicating through us and contacting us and being part of our experience, that we are part of God just as God is part of us, and it's a two-way street type thing. It's a reciprocal arrangement, if you will. And the God is beyond the physical universe as we know it, but maintains contact with the physical universe through us. And that was apparently their attitude and their religion. And you can find that information today in the network, in the net, and so forth, under the name of the Wingmakers, because that is what they call themselves. And according to what has turned up in current time, and I remember what they told me, they had made stashes all over the earth in about the 8th century A.D., which had been uncovered in the 20th century and into the 21st century. Three have been recovered so far, one in New Mexico, which was the first one.
Stashes of what, though, Ed? What are you talking about?
Of their literature, of their science, of their...
So you mentioned the Wingmakers. Is that what you were saying?
This is a buried underground... what would you call them? Time capsules, perhaps, is what the best thing they were, to show what their art and there was that they had, their music, their technology. And whether or not there was a warning involved, that's hard to say, because it fell immediately in the first site with the Chaco Canyon in New Mexico, fell immediately under the control of NSA.
So you're saying these software engineers, these computer engineers are...
human engineers as well, and genetic engineers initially.
But are you saying they're actually a byproduct of these Wingmakers?
They were the Wingmakers.
Okay, so they are the Wingmakers, and they're alive and well today, in this time?
Today, in the 28th century, they can apparently travel to this era, but they're not living, per se, in this era, meaning the 20th century, 21st century.
Oh, my God, I thought Al Bielek did it all with the Philadelphia experiment, but Ed Cameron, you have just opened up a whole new can of worms. If you want to know more, you can Google up the Wingmakers. You'll find a link at our Zinc Facebook page. Incredible stuff. There's more people traveling in time than we realized.